Well, welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday. That's really a Friday. If we're being completely upfront and honest with you guys, it's our Friday today. So I'm going to tell you right now, we've all got a little bit of vacation brain, which is fine. It's to be expected. You do, too. Just because you don't do this for a living doesn't make you any better than us. I mean, we suffer from it as well. I know I'm halfway out the door as we speak, but listen, really exciting game to talk about last night too, so that really pumped my nads to get out of bed and come in and talk about a two-hit shutout by the Texas Rangers. So yeah, you can see our reluctance this morning, but no, we're gonna do our very best to deliver you some laughs and some honest opinions like we always do. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you?
Good morning. Special hello to everybody heading out on the roadways or heading to the airport.
They say biggest
travel week, perhaps like record setting this week with people heading out on vacation, using that, you know, not technically four-day weekend, but let's be honest, four-day weekend for a lot of people is a chance to kind of extend their summer vacation. So they say airport's going to be as busy as it's been, record-setting days to start and end the week. So if you're out there, be patient, be kind. A lot of people hitting the roads and hitting the airports and, heading off on summer vacation.
I'm hitting the La Jolla Playhouse today at 2 p.m.
Are you?
For a little culture, the missus and I. Going to go get a little culture, a matinee performance.
Are you going to that Johnny Cash show? I heard about that.
The Ballad of Johnny and June. And my father-in-law got it for me. Now, here's the thing about you. We've talked a lot on this show about, hey, planning stuff and having things planned. You guys know generally how I feel about it, right? Like, I get a little bit like, oh, okay. So he sends me this beautiful text message for Father's Day, and he's just the greatest guy. And he goes, I know you don't like stuff being planned for you. We can move the date if you want to, but I got you tickets, you and Hannah. We'll take the kids. I want you to see this. It's called The Ballad of Johnny and June. And I swear to God, if this was, hey, it's Fiddler on the Roof, I would have been like, Scott, come on, please give them away. I don't want to go see Fiddler on the Roof. I don't want to see anything else. But because it's The Ballad of Johnny and June, I thought, all right, I bet you I enjoy this very much. I checked the runtime yesterday because I have to know these things. We talked last week about people that check the set lists. I have to know what I'm walking into. I just, how I'm wired. Some people don't. Whoa. My light just fell down. Sometimes it's just how it's wired, how people are wired. I'm wired to want to know exactly what to expect. So 2-hour and 15-minute runtime, which isn't bad. You go an hour.
With an intermission.
Then you go an hour intermission for 15 minutes. You know, grab a soda pop or whatever. It's Johnny Cash, maybe an amphetamine. And then from there, you go and do the last hour and you're good to go. So I was kind of dreading it. Now I'm kind of excited. We're going to make a day of it. And no kids. So it's going to be
Walk
great.
Walk the Line, really good movie. I imagine this is kind of a stage version of something similar.
The funny thing is yesterday, Bo and I were home, and I put on, we watched a movie. Do you remember the movie, Benny? You probably do. Summer School with Mark Harmon.
Not the one with
Kirstie Alley's in it.
Well, what am I thinking about the one with Rodney Dangerfield?
That is Back to School.
Back to School.
Summer
That's what
School
I was, thinking
was
of.
Mark Harmon, and he takes these degenerate kids that failed their English. He's got to teach them remedial English. They got to pass this big test. You don't remember this? It was a huge hit in our youth. Huge, huge. Paulie, have you ever even heard of Summer School? Do you know who Mark Harmon is?
Yes.
Okay, good. He was on CSI.
NCIS.
NCIS, right. So Bo and I watched that. He loved it, thought it was great. And said, I don't ever want to go to summer school. And I said, well, you know, study and you won't have to. Your old man had to do it a bunch in college. So we watched that. And then I flipped over and there's a Johnny Cash documentary on that I'd never seen. And I ended up watching most of that. So good timing. It's got me in the mood to go see this. It's going to spend the afternoon at the theater. I feel very fancy.
Sounds like a good time.
I know. I'm excited. Very fancy.
Mark Harmon, by the way, former starting quarterback at UCLA.
Yes,
just
he was.
Bring everything back to sports like I tend to do. That's where he got his beginning. So,
he
yeah, he's... He's what do they call it? Silver fox.
Yeah, he's sharp.
As they like to say. Yeah, don't worry. You're fine. We can see you.
Oh, God.
There's light in
Please
here.
Stop.
Just wait until the break to try to fix your light.
You're doing it wrong.
It's Paulie says you're doing it wrong.
Perfect.
He thinks he's doing it right. I don't know why it would just fall off randomly. That was kind of unusual.
Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
Well, while you're doing that, I want to bring this up because I mentioned all the travel that's going on. And I saw this tweet yesterday, and people were kind of going crazy. I think it was actually from Instagram. It said, someone said, traveling with a baby needs to have additional charges and approval from a doctor that the baby won't cry. If the baby cries, then penalties and charges need to be applied to the parent or family for the inconvenience they caused others who don't have babies. What do you feel about traveling with very young infants on airplanes?
Look, I've said this many, many times. If we could stop our children from crying, we would.
Of course we would.
We absolutely would. We know the inconvenience that it causes. We feel it as deeply and bad. More than your inconvenience, what a parent goes through physically, and not just mentally, physically on a plane when your kid is screaming, it's a physical pain that you feel. And it's not really, oh, my child might be in pain. It's everyone around me wants to kill me. And there's a visceral reaction you have. But the thing is, man, it's also the year 2024. I've got these noise-canceling earbuds. I can't hear an effing thing. Nothing. If I put these things on, my house could burn down around me. And I wouldn't know. I wouldn't hear the screams.
Well, maybe you take your earplugs out, and then you'll know that your baby's crying.
But you know your baby's crying. I'm talking to the people on the plane. Put these in.
I'm curious to get Paulie's perspective on this. Paulie, who, like many people nowadays, you don't have children, which is more common than it used to be. We, of course, are parents, and obviously we've traveled with our children, and there's always going to be at some point a bad moment. So I have empathy for people who are traveling with their kids, and they're not being good, they're crying, and there's not much you can do about it. As you said, Woods, it can be panicky, but I also see the perspective of, like, if you and Megan are on a trip and you paid a ton of money for a flight and you're going on vacation, you want to have a good time, the last thing you feel like you should endure is someone who's sitting, like, right next to you across the aisle and the baby is screaming on a four-hour flight for wherever you're going. It's like, this is not what I wanted to do, to get away on vacation.
Yeah.
And you feel like the parents are
Well, I don't expect them to leave their children
selfish.
At home.
Well, yeah. Okay, like, so at least you have that perspective.
I get that if, I don't know what they're doing. If they're going to the Bahamas or something, like on a vacation, it doesn't matter. But, like, they could be flying to go see family for a funeral. I don't know. Like, they have to bring their children. There's really no way around that. And I don't fault them for it. I don't fault them for the baby crying on the plane. Babies are going to cry. It's very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me, like, want to die, and if I'm sitting in, 34A, and somebody sits next to me with a newborn, my immediate reaction is, oh, God, here we go.
No, so is mine, and I have two kids, but mine is two. But then it's like...
But I recognize also that the parents, like, nobody is more mortified than the parents.
I think there's a phenomenon, though, where people who don't have kids look at parents and they say, they're kind of selfish for bringing their kids along,
right,
and, impacting me, who chose not to have kids. Like, I made that decision. But I also think that people who have kids sometimes look at people who don't have kids and like, well, that's a selfish decision. We're propagating the species and you're just, enjoying your life without children, but we're, trying to keep the human race going.
That just comes from a place of sheer jealousy. That's all that comes from. It's like, oh, you guys on a couples trip
with
no kids.
Yeah.
How much intercourse do you think you're going to have in the Bahamas? Because I promise you, I'm having none. Zero! I probably won't sleep. Bro, we're doing a staycation this weekend and at a hotel. I'm not going to get a lick of sleep or relaxation. Nothing. This isn't... It's a trip. That's all it is. It's a trip.
Planes,
it's not a vacation.
Planes are one thing because, like I said, you don't know why anybody's traveling. Like, that's kind of the only way to get somewhere sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's totally different. You can feel totally different if you're sitting at Petco Park. you go to the movies or something,
take
and then somebody sits next to you with a newborn. You're like, what the hell are you doing here?
That's,
of course, the baby's going to cry. They're blasting, you know, music loud at Petco Park or whatever. Like, of course your baby's going to cry. I shouldn't have to deal with that.
No, and listen, I kind of feel the same way, too, when I go to Vaughn's and I'm like, oh, cool, you do have your golden retriever in here amongst our food and stuff. Like, when I walk into restaurants, I'm like, I love dogs too, but that is a massive German Shepherd walking through here, you know, in this restaurant. It happens everywhere. No, we've talked about it before. The lack of self-awareness is what really hurts the human race. It really is. It's my kids cry. If you guys have ever been with me and my kids start to cry at a restaurant or anywhere, you know where I go?
Right outside.
Parking lot.
Yeah. Now, on a plane,
I'll
you can't.
But, like, I mean, bro, I will eat my meal outside at a restaurant if the kids won't
settle. But if I'm on a plane and, you know, there's a baby and the parents seem like they're doing everything they can to try to calm the child, pacifier, blankie, whatever, you know, doing whatever they can, and it's just not working, I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm going to understand they're trying at least. If they're just doing nothing and, like, okay, you're just letting him cry it out? Okay, that will bother me even as a parent.
Cody said, I saw they have hushing device for babies now.
Hushing device?
Yeah, they do. And we put it right next to our...
Is it like that Hannibal Lecter mask?
It's like a little thing and it just goes...
A muzzle?
It goes, shh.
So you don't have to do it yourself?
Yeah. And you get it and you put it next to your kid. It's a sweet thought. It doesn't work. Bo was colicky. He didn't sleep for 6 months. You guys remember? I mean, I was like, it was like, this guy's going to go off the deep end. Remember, I almost beat that guy up? That's because I hadn't slept in 6 months. And we had the hushing device. You couldn't do anything with him without him. Everywhere we went. I looked at Hannah and I said, this was a huge mistake. I called my mother at 3 a.m. Smoking a cigarette, by the way. Stopped to get cigarettes at 3 a.m. He's in the car. I'm leaning on the hood
of
my car.
You're Ben Affleck.
Call my mother. I'm moving to Mexico. Take care of my family, please. I can't do this. This was a huge, huge, huge mistake. Kill me. I mean, it was just... Parents are trying as hard as they can out there, man. They really, really are. Hannah says he was sleep trained at 6 months, settled down. All right, 3 months then. Yeah, it was gnarly. He was so bad. Parents on planes, I'm not going to get mad at you at all. I know how hard it is. These things are...
I don't really get mad, like, because I've seen parents... I'm like, are you even trying to get your kid to calm down?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're just
That's
like...
That's just bad parenting.
It's bad parenting, but there's also, like... They've exhausted every trick in the book. I mean, every trick in the book sometimes. And these noise-canceling ones they're lifesavers. They should have 10, 12 pair on planes for people that didn't bring them and people that can't handle. I don't like the sound of a screaming baby. It gives me the worst anxiety ever, especially when it's mine. Taylor's new bit is just screaming in your face as loud as he can. And it is shrill. And it feels like it's going to break the window. When he doesn't want to do something, he just looks at you and goes, "Aah!" And you're like, bro, what is your problem?
Sounds effective.
It's very, very effective. So, yeah, we've got, Hannah said, we're a family of four. We have four sound machines that we absolutely, if you walked in our house in the middle of the night, here's what you'd hear. Like the whole house, dude. I saw that thing you sent it over, Betty. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, just get a prescription from your doctor for the non-crying baby next time you go on a trip. But
you're not negligent if your baby cries.
No, you're not. They're actually supposed to.
I mean, empathy goes a long way. But if I'm not getting any back from the other person, it's really hard to show it
They do the bit too of like, hey, I'm going to buy everybody in our section a drink. It's not going to help you. I mean, it just doesn't.
Right. Again, I think planes are the one where it's like there's nothing you can really do about it. But if I sit down to a nice dinner at Rare Society or something, and I know I'm dropping $300-$400, there's a freaking baby right by. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
Why are you here?
That's
go away.
That's selfish.
That
dude.
Ruins my experience.
It is.
That actually does.
You're absolutely right because those people can get up and go outside.
Right. You can't do that on a plane, but bro, you can do that at a restaurant.
In, in my house, you guys know me, the slightest, like, I'm like, get your ass up. We're going outside. I run out to the parking lot of Bennigan's or something. Like, we're staying out here until you can calm it down. You good? You get a special treat. Okay, I'm good. All right, we'll get this back inside. Bro, I'm a wreck about it. I'm a wreck about it. So, man, that's good stuff, Benny. I like that. I like that topic a lot. And yes, 4th of July, we'll have some 4th of July chatter today, I'm sure.
Caitlin says in the chat, I'd be concerned that a child was dead if it wasn't crying.
Bro, yes.
But now I'm trying to think, can you picture Ben, like, as a baby crying? I bet Ben was like the one baby that just was like,
just taking it all in.
Mama Higgins can probably attest to that one way or the other. But
I bet he was a little bit of a crier.
I don't think so.
No?
I mean,
he's Mr. Even Keel.
He is Mr. Even Keel. But was he baby
I think
even?
He's been like that.
Was he baby Even Keel?
I was definitely a crier as a child. But I don't think I was a loud crier. I was more of the quiet, like, whimper kind of crier. Sort of sad. Just
that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Nervous child.
Like a little puppy?
Yeah.
You're so sad, bro. Oh, that's great. That's great.
All right, a little parenting this morning as we get you ready for the holiday weekend coming up. We'll set the menu for the program coming up. It is a guest-heavy Wednesday. We'll let you know the lineup that we have. Just it's like a lineup. It's one after another, but they're all good. So
hope you guys like baseball out there.
Yeah, that's probably true, but it's a good time of the year for it. It's July. It's, you know. There was some breaking news this morning from the National Basketball Association. I'll probably mention it at some point. So stick around for that.
Yeah, big one.
Stick around for that. We'll get to all of that. The menu coming up next. Kelly's got traffic. It is Wednesday. It's a holiday tomorrow. Let's try to have a good time here with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got a baseball trade this morning as well. Two items of breaking news on 97.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Do you want me to start with the baseball or the basketball? Dessert first?
Go with the basketball. It's a bigger story, I'd say.
It is, but it's not. It's what everyone completely expected. But the Lakers have agreed to a 2-year max contract extension with LeBron James, who opted out of his $51.4 million deal last month, only to opt in to $52 million over 2 years with another player option at the end of the year, so we can go through all of this again at the end of the season.
Right,
and
so
no trade clause as well.
He was making how much?
51.4.
And now he's making how much?
52.
Okay.
But from the rumors that he was going to take
restructure.
Less.
Yeah, and this isn't less. Now, he could have gotten a 3-year deal, and he took one plus one, but that doesn't really save the Lakers any cap room. They're still pushing into the second apron, which is like the NBA's version of the competitive balance tax in baseball. And it comes with more penalties, more restrictions. Essentially, they're probably not going to be able to sign anyone or add anyone. Now, they missed out on all the guys that they wanted.
There's really nobody left.
There's really not anybody left.
Make a trade.
So I guess LeBron said, well, if no one else is going to get it, I might as well take it. I guess there's still some discussion that if he takes $1 million less, they'll have a little bit more flexibility under the second apron. So maybe it's not completely finalized, but that was the breaking basketball news this morning. Shocker, LeBron wants to stay and play for the team that just drafted his son last week.
Who, by the way, came out yesterday and said, playing with my dad, I didn't even think about it. We're just getting gaslit repeatedly by sports teams. Mike Schilt will gaslight us from time to time. It's absolutely gaslighting. He's telling us we didn't see what we just saw, right? LeBron James, Bronny James gaslit the hell out of us. J.J. Redick gaslit us yesterday when he told us, no, he's earned everything. He's earned this. Bro, he averaged 4 points a game and a board a game in a year. Like, okay, if that's what you really want to try to sell us, I guess you have to buy it. It's very, very odd.
Bronny was introduced yesterday, and J.J. Redick like went out of his way to go, we didn't give him anything. He earned this with hard work. It's like, no.
He didn't really.
If his name wasn't Bronny James Jr., he's not leaving college. No one's drafting him after half a season at USC when he scored, 5 points a game. It's just not happening. So there's clearly a LeBron effect going on with this move. Now,
it also doesn't bother me, though. I totally get it.
I agree with you.
Right.
What's LeBron supposed to do? Not do everything he can for it to help his own child and further his career? And what's Bronny supposed to do? He seems like actually really good kid. Considering the spotlight he's lived in his entire life, seems pretty normal, got a pretty good head on his shoulders, understands, you know, what's going on and is dealing with it, has overcome, had a heart attack about a year ago, has overcome a lot. How do you feel as a Lakers fan?
Like, you're the Lakers fan. They weren't going to make a second-round draft pick that was going to make an impact on the court, but, like, I see the LeBron news today, and I go, look, that man's legacy is cemented.
He's
got
good.
Four rings.
Yeah,
he's a top three player of all time.
No doubt.
Bar none.
Arguably number one.
Right. You can make the argument.
Of course.
And
we're not going to today.
This guy,
so you know.
But this guy's entering year 40. All he wants, like, he's doing something that literally, like, nobody thought would ever be done.
Yeah, it's cool.
Basketball, playing father and son together.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's just a good story.
It's a good story, but yeah.
You're not expecting Lakers to make the playoffs.
The gaslighting. I also want to call, I don't think Ben's much of a Laker fan anymore. I think that you're just hanging on to it. I don't see you being super passionate about the Lakers.
I mean, it's nowhere near my Padres fandom.
Right. And when it's
probably my still second favorite major pro team.
Oh, really?
Well, like, there's not a lot of competition.
Should we just go F ourselves on that
like,
one?
NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL.
Right.
I mean, I don't have an NFL team anymore.
Yeah.
So they're really the only thing other than the Padres that I even care a little bit about.
Not college. You don't have a huge college football team.
I mean, Aztecs basketball.
Right.
But in pro, like major pro sports in the United States.
Yeah, Tony probably says number two. In the chat.
Tony's a bigger Laker fan than I am.
A lot more passionate
I think so, too. Look, yeah. Tony is a bigger fan. And realistically, they're not probably going to be another, you know, six, seven seed and likely out in the first round of the playoffs again next year unless... You know, LeBron and AD get hurt, and then they're going to be a complete disaster, which is always a possibility when you get a 40-year-old on your team as your essential anchor. At some point, LeBron's going to give out. Now, he was amazing last year
for
39.
Was, yeah.
But at some point, he's going to, I mean, father time wins over everybody, and it's going to run out.
Like,
it's going to be ugly when it does.
Those rumors were going around like, oh, he's going to restructure. He wants to bring in some quality players around him. I'm thinking... I don't know, man. He's going to just do what's best for him and his family right now. The guy has given the game everything he's had for 20 years now, and I think you just have to be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the baseball trade just in this morning, a little bit of a surprise. The Milwaukee Brewers have acquired pitcher Aaron Civale from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for a minor leaguer.
Infielder Gregory Barrios. According to sources familiar with the
deal. Now, Civale is not having a great season. He's got an ERA over 5. But if this shows that the Tampa Bay Rays are open for business and starting to sell off players, there's going to be a lot of teams that are interested in some of the other commodities that they have on their roster.
One of those interesting teams that can deal pitching from a position of surplus. Like, how many teams around the league are like, anybody need a starting pitcher?
Well,
we've got seven.
If there's ever a team that is willing to look at the market and go,
yes,
our chances realistically aren't great, and we're in a perfect position to sell and restock our farm system for the future, it's always going to be the Tampa Bay Rays.
They love to do it.
They love facing reality faster than anybody else. So
yeah.
They're facing the reality again. Yeah, I don't think we're catching the Yankees or the Orioles or anyone this year. So let's make the best of this market. When everybody needs pitching and we've got some, let's start trading it away for whatever we can get.
Well, they'd be right there in it if they were in the National
League.
Yeah, they're 43-42. They actually have a winning record. They've won their last two, but... Their run differential, Benny, minus 52 runs. They're not scoring runs. You look at it, they're fourth place in the division. They're 11 out of 11 out of the division and 3 back of the wild card. But again, I don't think trading Aaron Civale signals a white flag at all for them. You know, they have a chance to improve their farm system. They took it. So it is nice to know that they're willing to deal.
All right, quickly on the menu today, as I said, we got a big lineup of guests. Big League Wednesday, and I mean Big League Wednesday. Not 100% sure about Adam Jones. He usually ends up showing up. If he does, we kind of have him slotted in tentatively for 7:30. But coming up at 8 o'clock, it's Brett Boone, our friend and Odyssey insider. He's always fantastic. 8:35, old friend alert. Nick Hundley. Remember Nick? Former Padres catcher. He is now a current Rangers special assistant to general manager Chris Young.
He's the best.
Padres taking on the Rangers. Felt like a good chance to catch up with Nick Hundley. He's going to be on with us at 8:35. And because tomorrow's a holiday, we've moved Eno Saris up for some smart baseball at 9 o'clock. So boom, 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 boom. Lineup of guests, regular features in our 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, Padres wrap-up of what was a fairly dismal and dull 7-0 loss, but we'll get into it. There's one thing in the game that bothered me. Really just one.
It was like one pitch.
Yeah, one pitch that really bothered me in that game last night. We'll talk about it coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get to our Padres wrap-up, almost forgot about the Incorporator from yesterday. Jesse Agler joined us
at 8:35. He almost forgot about
it. He said
as well.
He did, but I was actually listening in the car, and he almost slipped it by me. So Woods came up with the word. Here was yesterday's setup for the Incorporator.
Bro, I found this word,
okay,
and I'm still looking for how to say it. So I sent it to Paulie for the pronunciation. Go ahead, Paulie.
Nudiestration.
What? What's the definition?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question.
Nudiestration?
Nudiestration. Yeah, it's an adjective.
Relating to the day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. Nudiestration. Okay.
So it struck me later that, Woods, are you just starting to Google search N-U-D and that came up? Is that where the inspiration was?
Yes. When I want to enjoy some adult entertainment, I just go to nude. I just put in nude into Google.
So I actually was in the car in the eighth inning listening, and I usually get the sense, like with Jesse, that, oh, here it comes. He's trying to get to something. No. He got it so fast. I almost missed it. Wait. Did he just incorporate? And I mean, Tony didn't say anything. I barely noticed it. This was just as casual can be in the eighth inning yesterday.
A one pitch into the air straightaway right field. Johnson is back and in front of the warning track. He has room to make the catch, one away. For the Rangers, kind of a continuation of their Nudistarian game on Sunday night in Baltimore. That was their best offensive output since May 8th. And they have come back with another big night at the dish here tonight.
Yeah, just the day before yesterday. They are just continuing on with
the
big offense.
Might have fumbled the pronunciation just a little bit.
Yeah, I think
he
said Nudiestarian instead of Nudiestration, but the usage was spot on, 100%, and no one blinked an eye. I barely blinked an eye, and I knew that was the Incorporator word. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I see where he's going there. So
next week we can do nudge, because that's also N-U-D. I'm just looking up nude words. Nude sticks are a type of brand of shoe. All right, yeah, nude. Not a lot of nude words. All right.
There was one. Honestly, Mike Schilt over tips his cap to the opponent. We know this.
Oh, we got another one.
Yesterday actually was probably an appropriate time to tip your cap to the opponent, but there was one thing that bothered me. One pitch bothered me about the game yesterday. We'll get to it in our Padres wrap-up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-2, the pitch. And the changeup hit in the air to right field. Straight away and deep. Johnson is back. He's looking up. It's going to go. Home run on the Ephus change. And Nathaniel Lowe made him pay for it. A two-run shot at the bottom of the first inning. Against Dylan, the 0-1 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to right center field, long run, Jackson Merrill. Deep into the gap, looks up, it's off the wall, right by the 410 marker. Heim will easily come in to score a long RBI double for Leody Taveras, and the Rangers lead it 3-0 here in the second. Not running, and the 3-1 pitch hit in the air to straightaway left field and deep. Profar's going back, still going back, he's at the wall, this one going to go. Second of the night for Nathaniel Lowe. Out to right field in the first inning, out to left here in the third, and a 5-0 Ranger lead. Against a drawn-in infield, swings, hits it in the air to shallow left. Profar charging in on the run, not going to be able to get there. Drops down and a base hit. Blue RBI single for Simeon to snap in 0-18, and the Ranger lead is now 6-0. There's a line drive into left field. That's going to bounce and roll all the way to the wall. Tavares racing around third. He's going to come in and score easily. Another double for the Rangers. This one for Ornelas. And it's 7-0 here in the sixth. 3-2 to Machado. The pitch from Eovaldi is swung on and missed. Strike three. Came with a splitter and got him. His sixth strikeout of the night. And now 13 in a row. Retired by the Ranger righty. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Rosario grounds it to third base. Backhanded Ornelas. Long throw across the diamond is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Hernandez. And the ball game is over. Rangers win their second straight. They mashed here tonight. They also got seven sparkling innings from Nathan Eovaldi, who allowed one hit without walking the batter in his start here tonight. Final score again, Texas 7 and the Padres nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes you got to tip your hat. I mean, the guy was really good tonight, and we did hit some balls hard. No one ever likes to hear that when you don't score, but, you know, we squared up some balls right at people. You know, center fielder had to make a run a couple plays and did a nice job, and, you know, but we couldn't scratch anything together.
Boy, you know, I know he hates the roller coaster term, but it just continues to feel very appropriate for the Padres. They score 20 runs over a 13-inning span and now have scored one run in their last 19 innings. It's just up and down. And by the way, Dylan Cease is as big of a culprit of the roller coaster as anyone.
No question.
Will look as dominant as any pitcher in baseball, seven innings, one hit, and then the next time it is just a string of extra base hits, home runs, doubles yesterday, 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs given up by Dylan Cease. And that happens. I get it. The one pitch that made me mad was that for the first highlight, the first home run, the first inning by Nathaniel Lowe. And it's because, and Jesse said it well, he hung that Ephus change. It's a pitch he throws about 1% of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe once a game. And yeah, he's talked about it. It's really a throwaway pitch designed to just get the batter out of the, you know, his 95, really hard stuff. Like, you keep seeing the hard stuff. Throw him something that's 70 just to mess with his timing. But it's not really a good pitch. It's not a pitch that gets any swing and miss. It's one that's almost always just taken for a ball, you know, I'd say about 80, 90% of the time. Now, he did throw one for a strike earlier, and he tried to go back to it. And you just don't want to get beat on your, what, fifth best pitch? It's just, you can't let major league batters get you on something that you know is not a competitive pitch. And that one put him behind 2-0 and essentially ended the game because they never scored after that. Now, did it matter? Would they have won that game if he hadn't thrown that pitch? Probably not.
No, and it's the same, you know, the same argument. You can't, I was up in arms a little bit after the missed strike three call to Lowe as well. Of course, the very next pitch, you throw that pitch and he hits it out of the ballpark. He did have him rung up. Pitch was in the zone.
It was
a great pitch. You know, could it have changed the momentum of the game? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not a prognosticator, Benjamin. I can't see the future. I wish I could. But when you roll out two hits in 29 ABs, yeah, it's not going to get the job done, guys. Arraez 0-3, Profar 0-3, Cronenworth 0-3, Machado 0-3, 3 Ks, Solano 1-3, Merrill 0-3, Hassan Kim 0-3, Higgy 0-3, and first knock of the game in like the fifth inning or whatever was from Bryce Johnson, or the third inning or whatever. But yeah, it was an ugly, ugly offensive performance, stagnant. We talked about it off the air this morning. I don't like getting walked off on. I really hate that. Like, it's one that keeps me up at night and sticks with me like son of a gun. But man, these games where it's like being in a root canal, where it's ground out, ground out, ground out, K, pop out, K, ground out. And of course, Eovaldi's a good pitcher. No question about it. None. He's a really good pitcher, has been for a long time. Said yesterday, you better be on his fastball. You weren't on his fastball. You know, and that way he mixes in that splitty. See on you, pound the ball into the ground. Pods did hit some balls hard. I thought the play that was made by their shortstop, it was
the one on Ha-Sung Kim's hot shot off the third baseman's glove. That was an incredible
one
play.
One of the better plays I've seen. I think, who hit that? It was Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim
hit it, yep. Third baseman backs up on it, boots it. Shortstop's right there, makes a great, great play. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, Manny looked pretty lackluster at the plate, kind of waving at stuff last night. Just an ugly night.
Yesterday, I hadn't realized how much the Padres had owned the Texas Rangers. They'd won 11 straight against the Rangers dating back to 2018 until yesterday. Oh, those streaks are always going to have to end. But now here we are again. Padres are still three games above 500. Yep. They did fall behind the Cardinals into the third wild card spot. Again, it's too early to really care specifically about where you are in the standings. But they're once again at that pivot point. Is this the start of a losing five out of six to drop back to 500? Or is this a two-game losing streak, which every team's going to have a bunch of those over the course of the season, and then they turn it right back around and, you know, win eight of their next 10? Which is it going to be, San Diego Padres? Is that magnet going to pull you right back to 500 again, as it's done every time? You finally got to five games above 500 for the first time with a really solid 9 out of 10. Can you escape the clutches, the pull that has drawn you back every single time this season? It's okay to be drawn back two games. Don't make it four. And today's game is going to be a tough one. Adam Mazur has yet to really put together a great performance in his, four or five big league starts.
Yeah, those cats are licking their chops across the way.
John Gray, who always tormented the Padres when he was with the Rockies.
Bro, you see his numbers against the Pods? He is 12-6 with a .299, 159 Ks in 25 appearances.
And he's having a good season this year, and the Rangers are now hot. You know, everything points toward Rangers should be on a roll now, and the Padres need to do something to stop it. They need to step up, and the offense needs to step up and shake off the last two games' performances. How about not giving up a two-run home run in the first inning like they've done in each of the last two games? And figure it out, because if they lose this one, now they're trying to avoid a sweep in the final game of the series on the 4th of July, and then you're even closer to 500 again. So here we go again, San Diego Padres.
Jeff says doom and gloom already. I mean, it's definitely gloom. I'll give you gloom. I'm not going to give you doom. But gloom, those games last night, those are gloomy-ass games to watch. Just a putrid offense that, you know, again, they didn't strike out a ton. You know, it's the old, and you heard Schilt say, balls didn't find holes. Okay, fine, I'll wear that today. But, yeah, it's a little gloomy because you do have to look at today's matchup, and then you have to look at tomorrow's matchup with Max Scherzer on the bump and go, all right, man, like, you're behind the eight ball. Your best chance was to win last night, and now you're really going to have to pull something out of your rear end with Adam Mazur on the bump. I don't see him going out and dominating that lineup, but you know, Dylan Cease too is just so up and down. He's so capable of good starts, but yeah, when he blows up, it's pretty severe when he does it.
And we did talk about it yesterday. The Padres' offense does require some luck to get going. I mean, all of these big innings that they've had have not been an unrelenting string of extra base, you know, 106-mile-an-hour liners. Every single time, it feels like they've had the 6-run inning, the 5-run inning, the 9-run inning. Two or three of those hits, kind of bloopers.
Yeah, bleeders.
You know, fell in, or you know, an infield nubber that turned into an infield single. There's always one or two of those that have to go the Padres' way to put together their big pass-the-baton-type innings. And when a game like yesterday, when, you know, they don't get any of those hits, nothing falls in, it's almost impossible to put together offense. You know, yeah, they've got some home, they've had more home run pop lately, but didn't have any yesterday. Didn't have any extra base hits. There's just no offense to be found when happens.
There's just not much to talk about, man, when it's a two-hit shutout. You know, there's just not much to talk about at all. When you're, you know, two-hit shutout is like a dream for, and Eovaldi was great. There's no question about it, but he was around the zone. He didn't walk anybody. He was around the zone. Just didn't hit him. Just did not hit him. So, got to figure out a way. I think John Gray similar-ish pitcher, doesn't throw as hard. I'll dig into some of the numbers on John Gray, but yeah, traditionally he has owned this team, so he'll be really, really comfortable going through, you know, going at this lineup today.
We did get some injury updates yesterday after the day off from Mike Schilt. I'll pass those along for you, and we'll play some take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Vegas, the Rio, all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get to our Padres wrap-up, almost forgot about the Incorporator from yesterday. Jesse Agler joined us at 8:35.
Actually, he almost forgot about
he
it.
He said
well.
He did, but I was actually listening in the car, and he almost slipped it by me. So Woods came up with the word. Here was the yesterday's setup for the Incorporator.
Bro, I found this word,
okay,
and I'm still looking for how to say it. So I sent it to Paulie for the pronunciation. Go ahead, Paulie.
Nudiestration.
What? What's the definition?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question.
Nudiestertian?
Nudiestertian. Yeah, it's an adjective.
Relating to the day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. Nudiestertian. Okay.
So it struck me later that Woods, are you just starting to Google search NUD and that came up? Is that where the inspiration was?
Yes. When I want to enjoy some adult entertainment, I just go to nude. I just put in nude into Google.
So I actually was in the car in the eighth inning listening, and I usually get the sense, like with Jesse, that, oh, here it comes. He's trying to get to something. No. He got it so fast. I almost missed it. Like, wait. Did he just incorporate? And I mean, Tony didn't say anything. I barely noticed it. This was just as casual can be in the eighth inning yesterday.
A one pitch into the air straightaway right field. Johnson is back and in front of the warning track. He has room to make the catch, one away. For the Rangers, kind of a continuation of their Nudiestertian game on Sunday night in Baltimore. That was their best offensive output since May 8th. And they have come back with another big night at the dish here tonight.
Yeah, just the day before yesterday. They are just continuing on with
the
big offense.
Might have fumbled the pronunciation just a little bit.
Yeah, I think
he
said Nudiestertian instead of Nudiestertian, but the usage was spot on, 100%, and no one blinked an eye. I barely blinked an eye, and I knew that was the Incorporator word, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I see where he's going there. So
next week we can do nudge, because that's also N-U-D. I'm just looking up nude words. Nude sticks are a type of brand of shoe. All right, yeah, nude. Not a lot of nude words. All right.
There was one. Honestly, Mike Schilt over tips his cap to the opponent. We know this.
Oh, we got another one.
Yesterday actually was probably an appropriate time to tip your cap to the opponent, but there was one thing that bothered me. One pitch bothered me about the game yesterday. We'll get to it in our Padres wrap-up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-2, the pitch, and the changeup hit in the air to right field. Straight away and deep, Johnson is back. He's looking up, it's going to go. Home run on the Ephus change, and Nathaniel Lowe made him pay for it. A two-run shot at the bottom of the first inning. Against Dillon, the 0-1 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to right center field, long run, Jackson Merrill. Deep into the gap, looks up, it's off the wall, right by the 410 marker. Heim will easily come in to score a long RBI double for Leody Taveras, and the Rangers lead it 3-0 here in the second. Not running, and the 3-1 pitch hit in the air to straightaway left field and deep. Profar's going back, still going back, he's at the wall, this one going to go. Second of the night for Nathaniel Lowe. Out to right field in the first inning, out to left here in the third, and a 5-0 Ranger lead. Against a drawn-in infield, swings, hits it in the air to shallow left. Profar charging in on the run, not going to be able to get there. Drops down and a base hit. Bloop RBI single for Simeon to snap in 0-18, and the Ranger lead is now 6-0. There's a line drive into left field. That's going to bounce and roll all the way to the wall. The Bears racing around third. He's going to come in and score easily. Another double for the Rangers. This one for Ornelas. And it's 7-0 here in the sixth. 3-2 to Machado. The pitch from Eovaldi is swung on and missed. Strike three. Came with a splitter and got him. His sixth strikeout of the night. And now 13 in a row retired by the Ranger righty. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Rosario grounds it to third base. Backhanded Ornelas. Long throw across the diamond is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Hernandez. And the ball game is over. Rangers win their second straight. They mashed here tonight. They also got seven sparkling innings from Nathan Eovaldi, who allowed one hit without walking a batter in his start here tonight. Final score again, Texas 7 and the Padres nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes you got to tip your hat. I mean, the guy was really good tonight, and we did hit some balls hard. No one ever likes to hear that when you don't score, but, you know, we squared up some balls right at people. You know, center fielder had to make a run a couple plays and did a nice job, and, you know, but we couldn't scratch anything together.
Boy, you know, I know he hates the roller coaster term, but it just continues to feel very appropriate for the Padres. They score 20 runs over a 13-inning span and now have scored one run in their last 19 innings. It's just up and down. And by the way, Dylan Cease is as big of a culprit of the roller coaster as anyone.
No question.
Will look as dominant as any pitcher in baseball, seven innings, one hit, and then the next time it is just a string of extra base hits, home runs, doubles yesterday, 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs given up by Dylan Cease. And that happens. I get it. The one pitch that made me mad was that for the first highlight, the first home run, the first inning by Nathaniel Lowe. And it's because, and Jesse said it well, he hung that Ephus change. It's a pitch he throws about 1% of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe once a game. And yeah, he's talked about it. It's really a throwaway pitch designed to just get the batter out of the, you know, his 95, really hard stuff. Like, you keep seeing the hard stuff. Throw him something that's 70 just to mess with his timing. But it's not really a good pitch. It's not a pitch that gets any swing and miss. It's one that's almost always just taken for a ball, you know, I'd say about 80, 90% of the time. Now, he did throw one for a strike earlier, and he tried to go back to it. And you just don't want to get beat on your, what, fifth best pitch? It's just, you can't let major league batters get you on something that you know is not a competitive pitch. And that one put him behind 2-0 and essentially ended the game because they never scored after that. Now, did it matter? Would they have won that game if he hadn't thrown that pitch? Probably not.
No, and it's the same, you know, the same argument. You can't, I was up in arms a little bit after the missed strike three call to Lowe as well. Of course, the very next pitch, you throw that pitch and he hits it out of the ballpark. He did have him rung up. Pitch was in the zone.
It was
a great pitch. You know, could it have changed the momentum of the game? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not a prognosticator, Benjamin. I can't see the future. I wish I could. But when you roll out two hits in 29 ABs, yeah, it's not going to get the job done, guys. Arise 0 for 3, Profar 0 for 3, Cronenworth 0 for 3, Machado 0 for 3, 3 Ks, Solano 1 for 3, Merrill 0 for 3, Hassan Kim 0 for 3, Higgy 0 for 3, and first knock of the game in like the fifth inning or whatever was from Bryce Johnson, or the third inning or whatever. But yeah, it was an ugly, ugly offensive performance, stagnant. We talked about it off the air this morning. I don't like getting walked off on. I really hate that. Like, it's one that keeps me up at night and sticks with me like son of a gun. But man, these games where it's like being in a root canal, where it's ground out, ground out, ground out, K, pop out, K, ground out. And of course, Eovaldi's a good pitcher. No question about it. None. He's a really good pitcher, has been for a long time. Said yesterday, you better be on his fastball. You weren't on his fastball. You know, and that way he mixes in that splitty. See on you, pound the ball into the ground. Pods did hit some balls hard. I thought the play that was made by their shortstop, it was
the one on Ha-Sung Kim's hot shot off the third baseman's glove. That was an incredible
one
play.
One of the better plays I've seen. I think, who hit that? It was Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim
hit it, yep. Third baseman backs up on it, boots it. Shortstop's right there, makes a great, great play. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, Manny looked pretty lackluster at the plate, kind of waving at stuff last night. Just an ugly night.
Yesterday, I hadn't realized how much the Padres had owned the Texas Rangers. They'd won 11 straight against the Rangers dating back to 2018 until yesterday. Oh, those streaks are always going to have to end. But now here we are again. Padres are still three games above 500. Yep. They did fall behind the Cardinals into the third wild card spot. Again, it's too early to really care specifically about where you are in the standings. But they're once again at that pivot point. Is this the start of a losing five out of six to drop back to 500? Or is this a two-game losing streak, which every team's going to have a bunch of those over the course of the season, and then they turn it right back around and, you know, win eight of their next 10? Which is it going to be, San Diego Padres? Is that magnet going to pull you right back to 500 again, as it's done every time? You finally got to five games above 500 for the first time with a really solid 9 out of 10. Can you escape the clutches, the pull that has drawn you back every single time this season? It's okay to be drawn back two games. Don't make it four. And today's game is going to be a tough one. Adam Mazur has yet to really put together a great performance in his, four or five big league starts.
Yeah, those cats are licking their chops across the way.
Gray, who always tormented the Padres when he was with the Rockies.
Bro, you see his numbers against the Pods? He is 12-6 with a .299, 159 Ks in 25 appearances.
And he's having a good season this year, and the Rangers are now hot. You know, everything points toward Rangers should be on a roll now, and the Padres need to do something to stop it. They need to step up, and the offense needs to step up and shake off the last two games' performances. How about not giving up a two-run home run in the first inning like they've done in each of the last two games? And figure it out, because if they lose this one, now they're trying to avoid a sweep in the final game of the series on the 4th of July, and then you're even closer to 500 again. So here we go again, San Diego Padres.
Jeff says doom and gloom already. I mean, it's definitely gloom. I'll give you gloom. I'm not going to give you doom. But gloom, those games last night, those are gloomy-ass games to watch. Just a putrid offense that, you know, again, they didn't strike out a ton. You know, it's the old, and you heard Schilt say it, balls didn't find holes. Okay, fine, I'll wear that today. But, yeah, it's a little gloomy because you do have to look at today's matchup, and then you have to look at tomorrow's matchup with Max Scherzer on the bump and go, all right, man, like, you're behind the eight ball. Your best chance was to win last night, and now you're really going to have to pull something out of your rear end with Adam Mazur on the bump. I don't see him going out and dominating that lineup, but you know, Dylan Cease too is just so up and down. He's so capable of good starts, but yeah, when he blows up, it's pretty severe when he does it.
And we did talk about it yesterday. The Padres' offense does require some luck to get going. I mean, all of these big innings that they've had have not been an unrelenting string of extra base, you know, 106-mile-an-hour liners. Every single time, it feels like they've had the 6-run inning, the 5-run inning, the 9-run inning. Two or three of those hits, kind of bloopers.
Yeah, bleeders.
You know, fell in, or you know, an infield nubber that turned into an infield single. There's always one or two of those that have to go the Padres' way to put together their big pass-the-baton-type innings. And when a game like yesterday, when, you know, they don't get any of those hits, nothing falls in, it's almost impossible to put together offense. You know, yeah, they've got some home, they've had more home run pop lately, but didn't have any yesterday. Didn't have any extra base hits. There's just no offense to be found when happens.
There's just not much to talk about, man, when it's a two-hit shutout. You know, there's just not much to talk about at all. When you're, you know, two-hit shutout is like a dream for, and Eovaldi was great. There's no question about it. But he was around the zone. He didn't walk anybody. He was around the zone. Just didn't hit him. Just did not hit him. So we got to figure out a way. I think John Gray, similar-ish pitcher, doesn't throw as hard. I'll dig into some of the numbers on John Gray. But, yeah, traditionally he has owned this team. So he'll be really, really comfortable going through, you know, going at this lineup today.
We did get some injury updates yesterday after the day off from Mike Schilt. I'll pass those along for you. And we'll play some Take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Vegas, the Rio. All coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.